The Fox Searchlight Pictures statue is lit up by bright blue fog lights. Fox Searchlight Pictures presents a Ripcord production. Gentleman Bronco. Starring Michael Angerano, Jennifer Coolidge, Jermaine Clement, Mike White, Hector Jimenez, Haley Pfeiffer, Josh Pace, Sam Rockwell. Doing that for you in the year 65. Ain't gonna need no husband, won't need no wife. You pick your son, pick your daughter too. From the bottom of a long glass tube, whoa, whoa. In the year 7510, if God's a coming, he ought to make it by then. Maybe he'll look around himself and say, guess it's time for the judgment day. In the year 8510, God is gonna shake his mighty head. He'll either say, I'm pleased where man has been, or tear it down and start again. A grumpy young man opens a notebook. Inside is scribbled the quote, Yeast Lords, and underneath it says, The Bronco Years. The boy writes in the notebook. It reads a sci-fi novel by Ben Samui Purius. The young man puts his pen away and looks up at a picture on his wall. He stares at a large hairy man in the photo with respect and sadness. Now it's been 10,000 years, man has cried a billion tears for what he never knew. Now man's reign is through.
Benjamin! What are you doing? We're gonna be late. Are you excited?
Yeah.
And guess what? I heated up the hot water bottle so you can sit on it while we drive.
Benjamin shuts his notebook and walks out of the room with a sack. In his room, a miniature set sits, made from cardboard and other materials. Two dolls are in the set. One is standing and has short black hair. The other is sitting. It has a long ginger beard and long hair. Benjamin is driven to a bus stop by his mum.
Benji, I'm so glad you signed up for this. I think this is going to be a really neat opportunity for you.
Hey, you Benjamin?
Yeah.
I'm Mr. Keith, the homeschool co-op advisor this year, but you can call me Todd, or some people just like to call me Keith. I think you're really gonna enjoy the Cletus Festival this year. It's the best writer's camp in the state.
Keith, can you tell me how much money he's gonna need for 2 days? I think $4 would be enough?
I'd say more like 40, maybe.
Really?
Well, we better hit the road. Got a big day tomorrow.
Be safe. Mwah. Hey, Benji. Remember who you are and what you stand for. I love you forever and ever.
Benjamin gets on the bus. The people look down on him as he walks along the aisle. He hits a girl in the face with his sack.
Good morning, homeschoolers. Is everybody excited for Cletus Fest or what?
Yeah.
We will be stopping for lunch at the Cozy Cafe in Echo. Some of you can afford to eat there. But those who can't will just eat the food they brought from home. Are there any questions?
Benjamin empties his lunch onto a table. It consists of a variety of vegetables and a bottle of water.
different.
It's totally different, and you're completely infused with another energy, whether you open yourself up to it or not. So I found it really, really
inspiring. Hey, Benjamin, come here. I want you to meet someone. Benjamin, I'd like you to meet Tabitha Jenkins. She's new to the co-op as well, kind of. She's been all last year as a foreign exchange student out in Europe.
Cool. Where'd you go?
In Brussels.
Benjamin is from Saltaire, and he likes to write sci-fi stories.
Keith is so dang awesome.
Yeah, he seems pretty cool.
I write French mysteries, you know.
How long have you been doing that?
Namely, the last 6 months. I write about a stable hand named Pierre. Can I borrow some money to buy some tampons? All my cash is still in euros, and I haven't had time to change it over yet.
What? Yeah, sure.
Thanks. I owe you big time.
No, don't worry about it.
They didn't have any, so I just bought some treats for me and Lonnie. Hey, can we come sit by you? Hey, Lonnie, bring your stuff. Let's sit over here. Benjamin, this is Lonnie Donahoe.
Hi. Hi. Nice to meet you.
He has his own video production company, Donahoe Studios. Since I've been away, he's been shooting my work on weekends. I sent him my latest installments via email. It's been an amazing experience.
How many films have you made?
83. But some are just trailers.
Dang, that's a lot. Do you produce only Tabitha's work?
No, I do all kind of movies. Horror movies, romance, soaps, fantasies.
Hey, Lonnie, can you squirt me some of that lotion we just bought? Can you give me a hand massage?
Look. Yeah. Yeah, I can do that.
Benjamin massages Tabitha's hand. As he does so, she rests her head on the back of the seat. Lonnie leans over and hums strange sounds into her ear. In the bathroom, Benjamin brushes his teeth. He hears a knock at the door. He leans around the corner. Lonnie lies fast asleep in bed. Benjamin opens the door.
You guys are so lucky you get to be roommates. Mine just wants to eat.
Hey, I don't think you're allowed to be here, but Mr. Keefe is right next door.
Relax, Benjamin. I just want to get to know you better. So when are you going to let me read one of your stories?
I don't know. I usually don't let people read my stuff.
Why not?
I've let my mom read a few, but they've just made her cry. Most people just get sicked out and stop reading.
Really? Are there romantic sequences?
No, none of that crap. It's just some mild swearing and sci-fi violence.
Well, have you tried posting any of your stories online?
Yeah, but everybody can do that, you know? I want to get published for real. Ronald Chevalier had his first trilogy published when he was 15.
Well, you'll never get anywhere by just letting your mom read your work.
Benjamin turns and picks up his red notebook, which has a stag on the front cover. He hands it to Tabitha.
You can read this. It's called Eastlords.
Benjamin walks into the bathroom and closes the door behind him. Tabitha opens the notebook and begins to read a story.
The Nad Lab was a cold, white room. Bronco, the last of the East Lords, lay spread eagle, strapped to a medical pod. Someone had stolen his yeast, and he had gone totally apeshit.
What the crap? Oh, my jams!
Sorry, Bronco. We had to borrow one of your gonads.
Decius, I should have known it was you.
Oh, I'm not the real Lord Decius. My name is Dennis. I'm one of his many clones. We're all very sorry. Lord Decius sends his regards, but we're investigating ways to strengthen the military. Your gonad is being used for research.
You took my nads.
We only took one.
You took my nads, Dennis.
I know you're upset, but we plan to give it back. We'll be done with it very soon.
Darn you. Flippin' Decius. Away from me with that. You hear me?
Relax, Brock. This will ease the pain.
A cat jumps through the window onto Dennis, knocking the needle out of his hand.
You release me, my cat's hungry! Release me!
Bronco sits up from the chair and picks up the needle.
You tell Lord Decius to eat the corn out of my crap.
He stabs the needle into Dennis's leg. Bronco limps over to a row of glass jars. He looks at them for a few seconds before taking one. He then returns and takes three more and walks off. Back in the hotel room, Tabitha lies on the bed, engrossed in the story. Benjamin walks in from the bathroom.
Good night, Benjamin. I really need to think about this one.
Tabitha turns and walks out of the hotel room. Benjamin walks up to a busy building. A man dressed as a book with the words Cletus Fest on the cover hands Benjamin a flyer. Benjamin walks down the aisle of a large theatre. The room is full of people. Everyone applauds as a man enters the stage.
Before we commence the activities, I'd like to introduce you to a very special person. He is a man who has repeatedly probed our imaginations for decades. A man whose canon of work has pushed the envelope of science and reason. A man who has created such realistic characters, I call them friends.
Chevalier, he's talking about Ronald Chevalier.
Without further ado, I give you one of the greatest science fiction authors of our time. Dr. Ronald Chevalier.
Ronald walks onto the stage wearing a brown leather jacket and jeans. The crowd applaud.
It's so good to see you, sir. Greetings and salutations. It is such an honor to be in the midst of so many juvenile, ripe minds. When I was your age, I had just completed my first trilogy, a body of work you now know as The Cyborg Harpies. Thank you. But what many people fail to recognize is that I created over 49 different pieces of cover art for that trilogy.
No way.
Ronald turns to his right and presses a button. The curtains at the back of the stage open, revealing a screen.
In this first piece, we see an early rendering of a harpy named Linda. Here she uses her knowledge of lasers to rupture the crust of a distant moon. Here is a detail of the ruptured moon crust. Must rupture the moon crust, she's thinking. This is a piece that came to me in a dream when I was 11. I call it Migration, and it depicts a fleet of harpies synchronizing their mammary cannons to create laser rain. Hard rain's gonna fall. And finally, we have a youngling trying to penetrate the secrets of the human mind. You won't do it like that, youngling. You must use friendship. Thank you. For the first time ever, it is my privilege to announce Prism Publishing will be hosting a contest for the best work submitted at this festival. It will be judged by a panel of industry professionals, including myself. And the winner will receive a 1,000 copy release of their work at selected bookstores nationwide.
There is whispering in the audience. Benjamin looks down at his red notebook.
In addition, I will personally create an original piece of cover art to accompany the winning story. May the glistening chrome of the Borg Queen shed her light upon us all. Amen.
People exit the theater with beaming smiles. Benjamin walks over to a table with a sign reading, Contest Submissions. He places his red notebook on the table. In a classroom, Benjamin sits among other young people. Ronald slowly walks to the front of the room.
I'm assuming that most of you are here for two main reasons. Alpha, you love to write fantasy fiction. And Beta, the character names in your stories are suffering. We're going to begin with a little game which will demonstrate a theory of mine known as the power of the suffix. You, give me the name of one of the protagonists in your fantasies.
Nebuchadnezzar?
Oh boy. Very original. I've heard that one before. But don't worry, need thou not be afraid, for we can turn a humdrum, forgettable name like Nebuchadnezzar into something magical like this. Nebuchadnezzar. And it's that easy. We can add Onius, Inus, or anus to just about anything, and it becomes magical. You, give me the name of one of your central protags.
Bronco.
What is he? A centaur?
No.
Does he shapeshift into equine form ever?
No, he's just a man.
Well then, I would lose the C immediately, and I'd replace it with an L, Bronlonius. And if he's part of a traveling clan, his clan's fellow could call him Bronlo for short. Except on formal occasions. Yes.
What about names found in troll colonies?
In troll colonies? Well, that's a different matter. Give me an example.
One of my tools is named Teacup.
I don't like it. I'd go with Triginus. Every time. Yes.
But I still like the name Teacup better.
It's not a question of liking it better. It's just as an author, picturing myself as a troll mother. I have just given birth to a litter of troll cubs. They're covered in placentae, pawing at my many teats for the vital life-giving colostrum. I'm not thinking, teacup. Am I? It's just not believable. And if I don't believe it, the reader doesn't believe it. Trojanus, Trococan. Trody. Names in this vein. If female, Trajana. Yes.
I thought trolls were supposed to be named after resources, like trees.
Are you telling me what trolls are named after? You do realize I am the author of Trollhole? Because it all boils down to species. Are they tree dwellers, bridge dwellers, subterranean? A troll wouldn't come up with a name like Teacup. A little girl would. Reginas.
Benjamin sits on a bench next to Tabitha.
How was the workshop?
I don't know. Chevalier seems kind of full of himself. He's kind of lame.
Really? I think he's gorgeous.
He's not gonna like my story. The names are all wrong.
Oh, I don't think so.
What do you mean?
Well, I thought your story was really good.
Really? I thought you didn't like it. Last night you seemed offended.
No, I actually thought it was kind of amazing. What inspired it? Some weird surgery you had?
I wanted to write a story for my dad. He kind of died when I was young.
Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry.
He was real brave. He was a game warden, explorer.
I see, so Bronco is kind of like your dad, and his gonads are his seed, which means the gonads are you. That's why they're so precious. Well, you know, like all great writers, you're going to have to go through a lot of crap, but someday your junk will be seen by all, and it will be awesome. I truly believe that.
Thanks, Abigail.
Ronald sits on one side of a double bed, reading through a paper booklet. The phone rings beside him.
Chevalier?
Ronald, how's the conference going? Any contenders?
Well, let me read you a passage from what I'm reading right now. Pierre used to be a jockey in college. He loves to have rice pudding with his tea. He loves solving animal murders. Pierre has two horses, Jacques and Paris France, both girls. He rides Paris France in the brick roads in London looking for mysterious things. He rides Jacques for pleasure. Merv, never make me do another one of these things again. These kids are a joke.
Ronald, as your publisher, it's not a bad idea to get in touch with your audience once in a while.
All right. Listen, Merv, did you have a chance to look at the Sandcastle Diaries yet?
Ronald, I'll cut to the chase. It's horrible. We can't publish it. It won't sell. Unless you can give us something worth taking to print, we're just going to have to let you go.
Merv, wait. Moon fetus. A fetus is found on a moon base. That's the premise.
I'll talk to you.
He slams the phone down. Looking to his right, he stands up and hits the pile of notebooks off his bed in frustration. Ronald looks at the notebooks lying on the ground. He notices Benjamin's red notebook with the stag on the front. He leans down and picks up the book. After looking at it for a few seconds, he sits back on his bed and opens the book.
Bronco cried out in pain as he sat on the shore of Goose Lake, trying to sew his junk back on.
Bronco sits on a sandy beach sewing his junk on. Beside him sits a glass jar which has been opened.
Excuse me.
What?
Is this your pudding?
What do you want? Hey! That was my backup man.
Sorry. Was it a fancy pudding?
Bronco stands up and walks towards the bald lady.
I know who you are.
Say what?
Our fathers fought valiantly and were victorious in the Battle of Shiloh. I was but a child then, maybe you don't remember. When your father died at the hands of Dacius, your mother wept so hard that her milk dried. To keep you alive, we shared suckle at my mother's breast.
Renai?
It is I.
I don't believe you.
My family is dead. My brother and I have been forced to work in the yeast factories ever since the epidemic.
You have a brother?
Yes. His name is Kanaya. He doesn't speak. But he's very handy with powders and gizmos and such. He can build anything.
What y'all want from me?
Let us come with you. Together we can destroy Lord Dacius once and for all. We shall begin a new yeast colony. Just like when we were children.
Well, that's my dream, but only one problem. They got my reproductives and I. Dacius gonna build himself an army using my seed. I can't let that happen. His powers become unruly. You know how weird that'll be? A bunch of gorgeous yeast lords with my face running around, making dang fools of themselves. I'm sorry, Vinaya. I have to do this alone. You and Kanaya just be dead weight big time. Gotta cut bait on this deal. Krolex, come on! Come on, Krolex!
We know where Dacius is hiding your yeast, Bronco.
Yeah, right. I can smell a cache of yeast cakes 40 mile off.
It's being held in a mountain fortress just north of here. I can show you. Kanaya and I just escaped from the yeast factory there. If you don't believe me, smell my breath.
Bronco warily leans towards the bald lady. She burps rancid blue smoke into Bronco's face.
Like homemade licorice. Take me there. Take me to your yeast factory. I am your soldier.
Ronald lifts his eyes from the book and stares in amazement.
I know you like wearing your dad's old clothes, but while you were at Cletus Fest, I got you some new shoes. Only $5 clearance sale at Haymart.
Benjamin looks in disgust at the white shoes.
These are girl shoes, Mom.
Oh, shoot. I thought they were skipper shoes. How about some good news? I got really inspired about my collection, and I came up with a bunch of new designs. Do you mind if I run a few of them by you?
Okay.
I've changed the name of my collection to Decent Beginnings. I liked it because I thought it had a wholesome ring, but I was hoping it could appeal to a younger market. Now, my first one is called Front Pew. And what I did was I extended the hemline down like that, so it brings the attention back up to the eyes. And this one, it's breakfast inspired. It's called Simply Cinnamon. I'm gonna make it out of some beach towels with some burlap fringe. This one is called Righteous Dew. Your father would all just love this one. This one's called Reachable Dream. Because all of our dreams are reachable, Benji. Even yours.
Inside a shopping mall, a child plays on a spaceship simulator. Benjamin looks around from the front of a dress shop. He is wearing a polo top, which is baby blue with pink writing on it. He politely greets a customer.
Hi. Welcome to Levon's.
Can I look at that salmon gown?
Certainly.
Benjamin picks up the headless mannequin that has a pink gown on it.
This is a very practical design from Levon's new Sunset Plains edition.
Well, how much is it?
This treasure right here is on sale today for $79.95.
Well, that's a ripoff.
The female customer leaves the shop. Tabitha and Lonnie walk over to Benjamin.
Hey, what are you guys doing here?
Lonnie's stepsister runs the Navajo taco stand.
They make a really good taco.
Lonnie walks over to a mannequin and rubs its arm.
So I noticed you left Cletus early.
Yeah, I had to come back and help my mom with the trade show. When do we get our manuscripts back?
Well, we got ours at the end of camp. Maybe they'll mail yours. But don't you have another copy? Because I really think Lonnie should read it. He has connections in the audiovisual industry. He might know someone that could help get you published.
Are you serious?
Well, it was so nice to see you, Benjamin. Bye.
Oh, okay.
Benjamin watches as Tabitha and Lonnie leave the shop. He looks at the gown in his hand and gives it a brush. In a dim-lit room, Ronald's head emerges from Benjamin's red notebook.
Yes.
Ronald puts down the book and starts typing on his laptop.
Bronco. I can do better. Bronchanus. Bronchoho. Not quite. Brutus. Forgive me. Cyclops there. Cyclops there. Brutus and Vinonka surveyed the yeast factory, looking for an Achilles heel. There was none.
Cyclops there. Cyclops there. Cyclops there. Turrets. Moon buggies. Oh my holy crap. Surveillance does. I hate those. This is ridiculous. That's the most well-guarded yeast factory I've ever seen. Kananka? Kananka? Show me your bag of secrets. What's all this crap? I thought you said he was good at making bombs and robots and stuff.
What I meant to say was, he likes collecting things.
What's he doing now?
I don't know. He must have found something.
I'm not seeing it. Not seeing results. All I see is a bunch of organic waste. What did he find? The genius.
Brutus is handed a black round object.
Wait a sec.
He gives the object a good sniff and then takes a small bite out of it.
Well, it's not a clean yeast. It's just a fungus beef sharing a few yeast-like properties. It's ripe and delicious, though. Watch this.
Brutus bounces up and down on the dusty ground.
All right, let's give it a little test. Not bad. Oh, it's pretty good yeast. This isn't bad. This is pretty good. It's not concentrate, but it's pretty darn good. Ha, whoopee!
I like it. I like it.
A car pulls up outside Benjamin's house. A man with long blonde hair gets out of the car. He opens the boot and takes out a snake. He puts the snake around his neck and walks towards the house.
Hey, Benjamin! Come here, I want you to meet someone! Oh, Benjamin, I want you to meet Dusty, your new guardian angel.
What?
Well, I noticed you didn't have any friends, so I signed you up for the guardian angel program at church. I thought maybe you two could go out in the back and get to know each other while I grill up some cod. Oh, my word. That's all right. Maybe I have some paper towel. Oh my goodness.
Outside, Dusty fires a dart at an action figure's head. Benjamin and Dusty look across the garden at Benjamin's mum as she hits the spatula against the barbecue.
Mom's smoking hot.
What?
Shh.
As a cat walks across the blow dart target, Dusty reaches into his pocket and takes out a small tub. He opens the tub and dips the dart into it.
What is that?
It's rat poison. Some of my poo.
sick. Is it lethal?
No. I don't know. Maybe. Here, you try.
I can't.
Dude, circle of life. Go for it.
Dusty hands Benjamin the pipe. Benjamin blows down the pipe and the poison dart flies through the air, straight into his mother's left breast. As she screams in pain, Dusty and Benjamin slowly walk off. Ronald paints a picture of some marshlands. As he does so, the phone rings.
Chevalier?
Ronald, it's Merv.
Yes?
I don't know where this came from, but it's fantastic.
Really? You like it?
I haven't even finished reading it. I've already approved it for print.
That's amazing.
I mean, it's a little jarring in places, but I think it's going to sell really well.
Are you sure, Merv? I've just completed the cover art for Star Bracelets.
No. I want you to start doing preliminary sketches of Brutus and his dog Balzac.
Yes. Yes, I'll get right on it.
You're back to your old self. Congratulations, Ronald.
Thank you, Merv.
No, thank you.
Mom, you're not bleeding. It's just water.
What? My delay insert.
You're gonna be okay. Hello?
May I please speak to Mr. Benjamin Purvis?
Tabitha?
I'm calling you on behalf of Donahoe Studios.
Lonnie thinks he wants to produce Yeast Lords.
Are you serious? He wants to make it into a movie?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be our next major motion picture. We'd like for you to come down to Donahoe Studios to discuss.
Also, could you play a role in the movie that we're shooting right now?
The sooner we finish it, the sooner that we can start yours.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I'd be honored. What's it about?
It's a romantic story I wrote. You would be perfect. Oh, and also, since your mom works for Lavons, do you think you could bring some nightgowns? Because we are in desperate need of sexy nightwear.
That's fine. Yeah, I could do that.
Okay, great. So we'll see you soon. And congratulations, Benjamin. This is a very big deal.
Benjamin puts the phone down. In a film studio, Tabitha does Benjamin's makeup. Lonnie looks at the blue nightgown.
Are these the 90s?
Yeah, we have to be really careful with them, though. Hey, Lonnie, what are my lines?
Okay, guys, we just got two more scenes, and then this trailer will be done.
Headphone, please. And...
In the scene, the room is filled with red and yellow candles. Benjamin finishes lighting the last one and walks towards the bed. He puffs up one of the leopard print pillows, then places it back down, pushing the rose petals into the middle of the bed. Wearing dark purple silk pajamas, Benjamin sits on the bed. A woman wearing the blue nightgown enters. The woman removes an item of clothing to reveal the cut-up nightgown. The cameraman looks up from his camera.
Cut! Lonnie, you can't do that. That's an $80 Don Carlos.
Excuse me?
I don't even think we were supposed to take the tags off. I'm sorry. I can't do this. This movie's gonna suck.
Benjamin walks off the set. Tabitha follows after him.
Idea, not mine, and I'll have my people restore it with scrap linens.
Tabitha, me and my mom are gonna be out like $100 now. We can't afford that.
Benjamin, look. Lonnie has come into some serious cash lately.
What does that mean?
Benjamin, Lonnie wants to pay you for Yeast Lords.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Yeast Lords is amazing, and it is definitely worth at least a couple $100. Hey, Lonnie, tell him how much you're willing to pay.
500 cash.
500?
What's wrong? These guys owe you some money?
No.
Who's that guy?
He's my angel.
Nice.
So, do we have a deal or what?
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Did you catch any neat rocks?
Yeah, it was fun.
How about you, Duster?
What?
Benjamin walks into his room. He pulls out the yellow check that Lonnie gave him and places it in front of the picture of the large hairy man. He looks at the picture with a contented look on his face. Benjamin then moves towards his bed. He reaches under it and pulls out a cardboard box. Inside are photocopies of his stories.
Bronco and Vinaya began their assault on the yeast factory, but the yeast paddy Bronco had previously eaten started to make him feel like crap.
The yeast factory sits at the top of a hill guarded by turrets. They fire on Vinaya and Kanaya as they run up the hill. A surveillance doe stands on the top of a ledge. Bronco flies through the air behind the doe and cuts it in half. As he gets up, he is violently sick, which propels him through the air. He lands flat on his back on the grass hill.
Before it kills Lord Bronco. We'll find something, Kanaya, anything.
Kanaya pulls up his shirt and reaches into a pocket in his skin. He slides out a gonad jar.
Well, not that, you idiot. That's just an old pudding.
Vinaya throws the jar over her shoulder. It lands in the cockpit of an enemy turret, which disables it. Vinaya runs over to Bronco as Kanaya stands still.
Are you all right?
What happened?
The fungus babe has poisoned your spine juice. We must get you out of here.
I can't move. My buttocks is completely numb.
Bronco and Vinaya look up to see an evil stag with rockets attached to it.
Oh, mother. A battle stag. I hate those.
Kanaya throws a rock at the battle stag's head. Its evil red eyes turn on him.
No! Run, Kanaya! Run!
As Kanaya runs away, the battle stag turns on his jetpack and hovers after him. The battle stag fires rocket after rocket at Kanaya, but misses every time. Kanaya dodges the explosions and runs back towards Bronco and Vinaya. Vinaya pulls Bronco's head back. His sick propels through the air and hits the battle stag. It loses control and spirals into a cliff face and explodes. Back in reality, Tabitha places the tape Yeast Lords into a camera.
And action.
Are you all right, Vinaya?
My brother, he sacrificed himself, and for nothing. We are useless. We are useless.
Easy, easy. Your brother loves you, Vinaya. He'll do anything for you. But Daisius has surely destroyed him by now.
He's the chosen one. He was born with flesh pockets. Haven't you read the prophecies?
No.
We must stop him, Bronco.
Yes, but first we must rest our bodies. Come, let's bid down for the eve.
Okay. And God.
Lonnie runs over to Tabitha.
Lonnie. Lonnie.
Oh my gosh, Lonnie, I think all the changes you made to the script are so much better than the original. I mean, this will be one of the few movies out there that is actually way better than the book.
Benjamin throws a piece of chocolate cake at a caravan. He drives down the road at the base of a large snowy mountain in a red, eight-wheeled, roofless buggy. He stops beside the postbox outside his house to retrieve a letter. Inside is a newsletter which has a picture of Ronald on the front.
Without a doubt, the best line I've ever written is this. Referring to her neck, she squawked, "This isn't a wart. This is the Chancellor of the Galaxy. Now let us in."
Next question. Over here.
In the second book of the Cyborg Harpies trilogy, Tribonius seduces the Borg Queen by playing her an original piece of music on his harpy chord. Can you explain what that music was supposed to sound like?
Yes, I believe you're referring to a piece entitled Gorgana's Lullaby, the notes of which are too numerous for the human ear to decipher. I can, however, reveal the lyrics to that tune, which until now have been unpublished.
That'd be awesome.
Ronald takes a drink of tea from his yellow mug.
Within my breast meat, there is a famine. No more sweets in the mammary canon. You are Gorgana, my eagle, my queen. Your ovaries will destroy me. Collect me in your wings. I am just a man, and I want to breed. Together we will learn to love. You gorgeous hag, you freak machine.
The crowd applaud. Benjamin puts his hand up.
Yes, the young man right over here.
I recently sold a story that I wrote to some independent filmmakers, and I'm worried they're gonna ruin it. I know a lot of your books have been made into TV movies, so I'm just wondering how you've been able to let go and let somebody else completely change the vision of your work.
Great question. Thank you for firing it at me. I remember early on in my career working on the first Harpy miniseries. I told the producers I wanted everything to be absolutely real. No special effects. I didn't believe in them, and I still don't. And I had a scientist friend of mine from MIT build a prototype of some mammo cans which shot actual lasers. I tried them on during a lunch break in front of the crew, and one overheated and began to malfunction and actually exploded and maimed a dolly grip. It was very sad.
So how do I avoid situations like that? I mean, the idea of somebody bastardizing my work really freaks me out.
Oh, I see. Have they paid you yet?
Yeah, they gave me a check.
Well, cash that check immediately. Enjoy your money. I mean, isn't that why we do what we do, dagnabbit? For the money, for the riches of the earth. When the future generations will look back, do you think they'll remember us for our writing? No, but for the wealth we have accumulated. Why do you think I wear this bracelet?
Benjamin looks confused.
And who knows, perhaps these producers may create something even better than your original version.
Benjamin looks around the room, slightly embarrassed.
Thank you for coming. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Hello.
Hey, I don't know if you remember me or anything. I was actually in your workshop at Cletus Fest.
Of course, yes. You look vaguely familiar.
I submitted this story called Yeast Lords. I know it didn't win or anything. I was just wondering maybe if you had read it. I thought maybe you can give me your feedback.
No, I don't think I read that one. It must have been one of the other judges.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Ronald exits through a door, looking over his shoulder. Benjamin walks up to his house. He throws his hat on the ground. Inside the house, he hears his mother crying.
Mom. Mom, you need to calm down and stop watching yourself cry.
Benjamin moves his mother away from the mirror. They both sit down on the bed. Benjamin's mother has tears running down her face, and she is wearing one of her gowns.
My gosh. I did the inventory for the Lavon's gowns this morning, and it appears that there's one or two things missing, and that's $100 we don't have this month. I don't know how I'm going to give you a birthday.
Don't worry about that. I'm fine.
In the meantime, I might have you try to sell some of my country balls. You know, maybe we could have, like, a two-for-one deal.
Mom, I'm not selling two in a sack.
Come on, feel how heavy these are.
Benjamin feels the country balls. He walks down the street with the balls in a basket.
Two-for-one country balls. Two-for-one country balls.
He throws the basket into a bin and walks into a building called Soltaire Credit Union. He walks up to the front desk.
Hi. Just need to cash this.
This check is postdated for next year.
It is?
Come back in a year from now and we'll see if it clears.
Benjamin exits the building looking downcast. He slowly strolls back over to the bin, where he takes out the basket and country balls. As he takes the balls out of the bin, he looks up to see a truck with Tabitha, Lonnie and Dusty on the back, filming a scene for Yeast Lords. Ronald snips the mustache of a man who looks like a character from Yeast Lords. Lonnie films an action scene with Dusty. He looks on with excitement. Benjamin and his mother walk down the aisle of a fabric store. Benjamin unenthusiastically searches for fabrics. Lonnie and Dusty are dressed in blue outfits. Dry ice is blown on them as Lonnie acts out a scene with the evil Doze. Ronald sits on a white leather sofa typing on his laptop. A notebook is on the table next to him. Benjamin looks downcast again and unenthusiastic in his mother's shop. Ronald stands holding a trophy and a book. A photographer takes pictures of him. The book is called Brutus and Balzac. The camera strafes across the cast of Lonnie's film of Yeast Lords. In a church, Benjamin and his mother watch as the angels sing a hymn. Dusty is among them. Benjamin sits leaning on his hand.
Studios here in the Great Basin Valley. We bring you The Rod Decker Show, serving your community for over a decade. Your host, Rod Decker.
Good morning. Welcome to The Rod Decker Show. We have some filmmakers here today. Mr. Lonnie Donahoe is the director of Yeast Lords.
Ms. Tabitha Jenkins is the producer. And seated next to me is Mr. Dusty Crisop.
He's the leading man.
Look! It's dusty.
These guys are prolific.
This is your 84th production, Mr. Donahoe? And what's it about?
Basically, it's a story about two lonely souls that find love during a time of war and disease.
War and disease. Okay, that sounds interesting. Yeast Lords.
Your idea? Did you come up with it?
No way. She bought this story from a boy named Benji Purvis.
So neat.
But to be honest, his story has some major issues.
Bridget, some kind of troupe of pre-teen amateur circus freaks have made an adaptation of Brutus and Balzac without my permission. I'm completely distressed. I can't even concentrate on my audiobook narration.
Dusty Crisp, the leading man, a movie star. What was it like working with Mr. Donahoe?
Lonnie is the best director I've ever worked with, by far. I don't know of another director who can call action 1 minute and the next he puts on a bald head and he's acting.
Yes, I don't know what we can do. Can we sue them? Can we crush them in the press?
Like working with an extension of myself?
I know, but if there's one thing I can't stand, it's plagiarism.
We're out of time. If you want to see Yeast Lords, premiere is tonight at the Salt Air Cinema. And to my guests, break a leg. I think that's what they say in show business. Thanks for being here. Good luck to you.
Thanks, Rod.
Thank you.
Lonnie and Tabitha waved to the camera.
Oh, my gosh. Benjamin, what are you and I going to wear to the premiere? You got to promise me you can let me make you something.
Dusty and Lonnie have their photo taken in front of a Yeast Lords poster.
Mr. Donahoe. Hi, I'm with the Village Gazette. Nice to meet you.
Hi.
Benjamin and his mum enter the premiere wearing matching clothing. Tabitha greets them.
Hey, Benjamin. I'm so glad you came. How are you?
Good.
Nice to see you, Benji boy.
Hey, Lonnie. This is my mom, Judith.
Hi. I like your matching hippie clothes.
Oh, thank you.
They are important press people here, so don't forget to do a nice standing ovation.
You got it.
Shall we take our seats?
Benjamin and his mum sit in the cinema. His mum eats one of her homemade country balls.
Coming soon from Donahoe Studios. Daisy had everything. Beauty, money, a 50-acre horse ranch, a prize-winning stallion. But what she didn't have was Logan, the stable boy.
Benjamin slides down in his chair.
But he was already married to her sister.
Logan feeds his wife homemade country balls.
Hey, Logan, wanna go for a ride?
Can we bring old Big Sis along?
I was thinking it could be just the two of us. Come on in, the water's great.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Daisy sits in the hot tub looking depressed. She takes some pills and throws the glass at a picture of her and Logan. She then stands in the kitchen with her arms folded.
I don't care if you have a 50-acre ranch or a prize-winning stallion. I love my wife. We have a great physical relationship.
My horse's semen is worth $10 million. Investors from all over the world have tried everything they can to get their hands on it.
Benjamin leaves the movie. Outside the screen, he throws up in a bin. Tabitha comes out of the screen after him.
Benjamin.
As chunks of sick linger around Benjamin's mouth, Tabitha kisses him. Benjamin wipes the sick from around his mouth.
I've only just realized that what we shared together on screen was very real to me.
I don't feel very good.
Oh, well, you're nervous about the film, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, let's get out of here then. Let's go someplace where we can relax and be alone.
Okay. Can you hold on for just a second?
Oh, yeah.
Benjamin peers into the cinema screen. His movie is just starting.
Donahoe Studios present G-Slord, the Bronco Gears.
The surveillance does fly through the air. Bronco and Vanaya stand by the facilities.
Come with me to my underground facilities.
Bronco and Vanaya disappear into the yeast facilities.
Working at the cheese facilities made my breast so big and gave me so many diseases.
I wish I could have been there for you. Your brother loves you, Vanaya, and he'd do anything for you. But Decius has surely destroyed him by now.
Vanaya slaps Bronco. Lonnie smiles at Dusty. In the film, Bronco and Vanaya run through a desert as they are fired upon.
One of the laser hits my boobs.
Okay, we can go.
Benjamin and Tabitha run across the street holding hands. They enter a shop called Utah Book and Magazine.
Could grab a couple of Sudokus and snuggle up somewhere.
Tabitha rubs Benjamin's arm and then walks off. He looks around the bookstore and wanders down an aisle. He notices a sales display of Brutus and Balzac, written by Ronald. He eagerly walks over and starts to read one of the books.
Groggily, Brutus regained consciousness. There was a numb pain below. Some stitches, obviously sewn by a medical droid. Instantly, Brutus knew that one of his reproductive bags had been stolen.
Oh my gosh, is that the new Chevalier book?
Read this.
Benji, don't ruin it for me.
Just read it.
Okay. As Brutus struggled to free himself from the medical pod, a voice spoke to him from across the room. I'm sorry, Brutus. We had to borrow one of your gonads. We're investigating ways to strengthen the military. I don't believe this.
Benjamin walks out of the shop onto the pavement. Tabitha follows him. Benjamin walks down the side of a dark road, his jacket and a copy of the book in his hand. Looking downcast, he walks up to his house and kicks the gate open. He continues his depressing walk and enters his house, where Dusty sits waiting for him at a table with the blow dart gun.
Dusty? What are you doing here? I brought your wrap gift. Oh.
Benjamin puts the book down and sits in front of Dusty.
People hated your movie. Some of them walked out. Yeah, I kind of figured that. And this guy said you stole the whole deal from some book. It's not true. Yeah, I hit that guy in the face. And I punched Lonnie in the neck. Lonnie's a butthole. Did you hear what he did to my voice? It sounded like a leprechaun. That's why if somebody messes one of your stories again, you gotta take them out. Because they're good. And I'm not saying that just because I'm your guardian angel. Thanks.
Dusty stands up and hands Benjamin the blowgun and dart. Morning. Benjamin's mother shows him a newspaper with an article about Ronald in.
Look! Who's that? Isn't that your hero? He's in town. Maybe after Don Carlos, we could drop by the book signing. You know, Don Carlos owns the biggest nightgown company in the state, and he wants to see my entire line. I mean, this could be my big ticket. I feel like things are changing for us, don't you? And it's gotta be Dusty. He's our good luck charm. Come on. Come on, honey, I need your help. We gotta do a few loads. Ow. Get her.
Benjamin and his mum stop outside a large mansion.
Guess this is it. I'm so nervous. But just pray that he likes my collection. How do I look?
You look fine.
Wish me luck.
Benjamin watches as his mum gets out of the car. Carrying lots of gowns, she shuts the door with her bum, then walks up to the grand house. Inside the marbled floor mansion, a man wearing a red gown plays the piano.
A real palace.
Hey, I didn't see you there. Love your dress.
Thank you.
Why don't you go into my bedroom and undress to your comfort level? I'll be there in a second.
Benjamin's mum smiles, looking confused. In the car, Benjamin reads a newspaper. It says, teen writer copies bestseller, local film a bust. It has a picture of Benjamin and Lonnie under it. He closes the newspaper and picks up the book.
Brutus stood at the edge of the pond and held aloft a futuristic cylinder.
I made us a time capsule. I put a buttload of keepsakes in it. We can send it floating downstream. And that way, if we die, future generations will learn from us. Look at this. It's a friendship stone. Come closer. Let's blow on it. You blow first.
Brutus and Balzac both blow on the stone. Then Brutus throws it away into some water. They giggle and clap hands.
What?
Benjamin's mum walks out from the mansion and down the steps. Crying, she stuffs her gown into the car.
Mom, what happened?
He wanted me to bed down with him.
He what?
He said if I slept with him that I got my nightgowns and every pennies across America. But I couldn't do it.
Carlos! How about you come down here and fight me like a man?
Benjamin, stop! Get back in the car! Benjamin, get back in the car!
Benjamin picks up a statue of a horse and throws it through a window.
You think you're gonna last my mom, you fat sack of crap? Come down here and fight me!
Benjamin runs from the gunfire and hides behind the car.
Mom, I need you to pop open the trunk and run away from the car. Just pop open the trunk and get out of here.
No, but I can't.
Benjamin's mum gets out of the car and runs down the driveway with her hands on her head. Benjamin quickly reaches into the trunk to get the blow dart gun. As he does so, Don Carlos fires at him. His revolver runs out of bullets. He runs into his house to fetch more. As he does so, Benjamin dips the darts into some dog poo. Don Carlos returns and aims at the car. Benjamin uses a mannequin to distract him. As he fires on the mannequin, Benjamin fires two darts into his chest, then jumps in the car and drives away. Benjamin drives recklessly through the streets. He passes his mum, who is being comforted by a lady. He picks up the newspaper in his car and looks at the article about Ronald's book signing.
Hello.
Hi.
And who can I make this out to?
Christy.
Christy.
I would just love to step inside your brain for a day and see what it's like. Explore its many kingdoms and learn its darkest secrets.
I would take it from someone who lives there. You might not be able to handle it. My mind is a landscape of mystery, of thrills, a place where even the bravest of travelers would be shaken by its guises of original thought.
Wow.
I know. May the gods bless you.
With his hair disheveled, Benjamin barges into the book signing library wearing an orange gown. He skips the queue and confronts Ronald.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering if you would sign this for me.
Benjamin throws a photocopy of his notebook onto the desk. Ronald opens it and reads the title, Yeast Lords.
Excuse me for a moment.
Ronald picks up a microphone and comes out from behind the desk.
Friends, I would like to introduce you to a dear disciple of mine. This young man standing beside me loved Brutus and Balzac so much that he turned it into a gripping screen adaptation called Yeasty Boys. As a reward for his efforts, Prism Publishing has decided to honor him with an all-expenses-paid trip to any one of the lower 48 states. And this commemorative bean pillow, mini size.
Ronald hands Benjamin the pillow.
This jacket. And a trip to space camp.
Awesome.
Join me now in a moment of silence as we commemorate his contribution to science and the arts.
Ronald and the rest of the fans bow their head in respect. Benjamin gives Ronald an evil look, then hits him round the face with the pillow, sending him to the ground.
Put the pillow down. I beg of you.
You stole my story.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All you did was change the character names and turn Bronco into a tranny.
Shut up. I don't know what he's talking about. Please, someone seize him. Seize him.
You're a fraud. No, you mentioned no, you're a fraud.
Take him away. But please, show leniency. Always leniency.
In the police station.
Benjamin! Oh, Benjamin, there you are. Terrible place. Are you all right? You're not wounded, are you?
I'm fine.
I don't know how this all happened. You're gonna have to spend your birthday in jail.
Oh, honey, don't cry. I know I brought you some presents.
Still wearing the orange gown, Benjamin sits up from his bed.
Happy birthday. A popcorn car.
Benjamin's mum tries to fit the popcorn car through the bars but fails, so she slams it into them. The car slowly disintegrates.
I can give it to you later.
She then takes a blue box from her bag and passes it to Benjamin.
I've been registering all your stories with the Writers League since you were 7.
Benjamin flicks through the box of stories. The stories are Grizzly Cubs on Death Mountain, The Blood Custard, Donovan's Moon Jewels, and Yeast Lords, The Bronco Years.
I thought someday you could show it to your kids.
Benjamin flicks through Yeast Lords and then smiles happily at his mother.
Oh? Questioned Balzac. Don't give me that, you crazy wolf, erupted Brutus. You know why I put that in there. Perhaps they can clone me. And besides, it's always good to have a spare.
Ronald is interrupted while reading his story by a woman holding a mobile phone. He takes the phone and wanders into an aisle of the library.
Chevalier?
Ronald's books are thrown off the shelves and replaced by Yeast Lords. In a tunnel, Bronco and Vanai ride on battle stags. Kanaya lies on the back of one. They speed out of the tunnel as it explodes. Out in the open, they are attacked by gunfire from Cyclopses. Bronco flies his stag towards the enemy Cyclopses. He slaps the stag, which fires rockets, killing the enemy. Bronco kicks his heels against the stag, which opens a compartment under its stomach, releasing bombs, which land on a Cyclops vehicle. Dennis flies after Bronco, firing at him with 2 miniguns attached to his stag. Bronco pulls up, sending Dennis in front of him. Bronco tips his stag upside down and hangs from its horns. Dennis and Bronco fly straight towards each other, and Bronco kicks Dennis in the face. Bronco fails to keep control of his stag and falls from the sky, landing in shallow water. As Bronco sits in the water, Dennis fires, narrowly missing him. Bronco crawls over to his stag, Daisius. He lifts it up and punches its thigh. This throws its tail up in the air and reveals a blaster cannon out of its bum. It fires on Dennis, who is floating in the sky, and destroys him.
Benjamin, you are so talented. This is amazing.
So are you, Mom.
What's this?
Benjamin gives his mum a fashion show ticket.
I love you.
Benjamin and his mum hug. Dusty and his snake join in. We'll be right back. At a fashion show, ladies walk up and down the catwalk. Lonnie and Tabitha walk down together wearing purple gowns. Dusty comes on wearing a silver silk dressing gown. As the crowd applaud, Benjamin's mum stares at Dusty as he slides the top of his dressing gown off at the end of the catwalk. All the models follow Benjamin's mum down the catwalk to the applause of the crowd. The end. Audio description by Jack Seta.
You cry.